Bill of Pippin, Sandusky Association, Ohio.
We read, it says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for me to write the same things unto you, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Just beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the conceiving. For we are the circumcision which work of God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Certainly the way we feel this afternoon. We also read, it said, Lord, make me to know mine end, and to measure my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as rarely nothing before thee, and every man at his best age is just altogether vanity. How much we need to be aware of that. We also read that it is written, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So we ought to recognize what we are before God and in his sight by nature, and I trust we also are able, by God's grace, to see what we are by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if the apostle said, but yea, thou must like unto all things for loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And there aren't many of us that have not had the experience of where we felt we might have had some righteousness under the law. But I trust we have come to the same conclusion as the Apostle Paul, that we found that we don't have any righteousness under the law. We read, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And it's not a mystery to me, but it is still the darkness of nature has not comprehended the marvelous and divine things that God has done for his children here in this world. But he said there was a man sent from God, whose name was John, the same came for a witness to bear witness of that light. That light is every man that cometh into the world. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That is the true light, the light is every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's just a marvelous thing to me, that this Christ, being in the beginning with the Father, and he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so how necessary it is that we are born of God's Spirit before we will ever come to a knowledge or understanding of those things. I was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee. Ruler of Jews, his name was Nicodemus. The same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus answered and said, How can a man that is old be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water, I know the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not, as I say unto thee, ye must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said, Art thou a ruler of Israel, and knowest not these things? Brother, there is a mystery. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And so we understand that it is by God's grace that he has brought us out of nature's darkness and has brought us into this kingdom here in this world. And so it says, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And brother, that's just what we need. He knew that his people stood in need of this grace and this truth as we live here in this time world. We realize the evil forces that are always about us endeavor to distract us from serving the true and the living God. And so he said, for the law made nothing perfect. Brother Nat, what's the thing? The law made nothing perfect. Now, I want you to understand the law as God gave it was just as perfect as God himself, because God never did anything but what it was perfect. And, brother, when we're talking about the truth of what God has done, brother, we can't add to that and we can't take from it. All we can do is we either walk in the truth or err from it. And because this brother Donnie has been preaching unto us, whether I believe it or not, has not changed what God has purposed to do. And so I say, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did by which we draw nigh unto God. Brother, and we also read, but now he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should have no place been found for the second. And brother, now if we go back and just read over in the Roman letters, he'll tell you why the first covenant had a problem. It said, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Isn't that where it's always been weak through the flesh. It was because of the Spirit of God. He said, watch, therefore, and pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We need that. And so we see then that he was full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his grace have all we have tasted, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And no man has seen the Father at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And that's just exactly what he said by me, as the doer of the will of the Father, and finish his work. And he said, and these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life unto as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And brother, I believe he's back in that same glory that he had with the Father before the world was. He said, he was a jealous God. He said, my glory I will not give to another. Brother, when you try to take God's glory from him, all you're going to do is rob yourself of the joy of serving the true and the living God. He said, verily I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheepfold, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, for the thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. Brother, there's one thing about God, and that is that he always manifested his love to his people. He didn't just say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But he manifested it to them. And that's exactly what the children of God, they wanted to manifest their love to God, and they asked Moses to get these commandments. What would God have them to do? They had just come out of this great deliverance that Brother Donnie referred to, and been delivered out of the land of bondage, and they were so happy and rejoicing in that, that they wanted to serve the true and the living God, and they got the commandments. What did they do? They didn't keep them. They just didn't keep them. They weren't a strange people either. They had a rich history of the dealings of God written down for them, and the priests, they read them and read them and read them. That was what the law was to do. You were to teach your children and the generations that followed and the generations to come what these things meant and what they were as they referred to the workings of God among his children here in this world. And they could do that naturally because they received that commandment of God. And he told them very plainly over in Isaiah. He said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, but if you refuse and rebel, He shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And that was the covenant, basically. If they were willing and obedient, and brother and I want to stress this, it didn't say just be obedient. It said be willing and obedient. And brother and I am just sometimes obedient. That's about all I can muster. Not willing and obedient. And we need to be willing and obedient. If we're not here to serve God today because of the love that He has showed us, brother, and I believe that our worship will be in vain. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Brother, and he didn't say if you feared hell and didn't want to go to hell, keep my commandments. And you just reject the religions of the world. Brother, and they don't teach the love of God. They teach the fear of hell. Brother, and I never preach the fear of hell. I want to preach the love of God that He manifested through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, wherefore I put thee in the remembrance of the faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and then thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of me, or of the gospel, nor of me as prisoner. But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not even according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest in the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. For I believe that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And we hear that back over in Romans. He said, I'm a debtor both to the barbarians and to the Greeks, and both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to those that be in Rome, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto hell. No, he didn't say that, did he? But he said, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And there's a lot of people who will find fault with God, but he said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, for as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness and men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because God hath manifest that which may be known of Him, for He hath shewed it unto him. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, and confessing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And this is what they did, brother, and you can just see it. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and beast, and birds, and creeping things. You just read the Bible. What hasn't man tried to worship? Just search your mind. What hasn't man tried to worship? The first commandment is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It are these two commandments, save all the law and the prophets. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a wonderful gospel we have to preach unto God's children here in this world. It never has pleased the natural man. We think so much of the songwriter who said, it is well with my soul. He didn't say it's well with my flesh, did he? Well, you ever wonder why? It's never going to be. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Do you find that? The Apostle Paul says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He said, I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, but by the grace of God. I am what I am, and that's just exactly what I feel. But by the grace of God. Brother, when you see what the grace of God has done, does that cause you to want to sin out here in this world? When you see what the grace of God has done for you, and not only for you, but your loved ones. We sometimes, I feel like in the church, you know, I get hardened against a brother or a sister and something like that, and I don't love them, and the feeling's not there that it should be there. And I begin to wonder, then, how could Christ love us? We were enemies of Christ. We were enemies. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work with experience, and experience hope, experience patience, and patience hope. And hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love unto us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath which is to come. For if when we were enemies to God, we were reconciled by the death of his Son, much more we shall be saved through his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We were just as far from God as we could be. My brethren, we read over there that at that time you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his place the law of the commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that by one body he might reconcile both unto God, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came, and he preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the buildings fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded for a habitation of God through the Spirit. But when you take Jesus Christ out of it, you don't have anything to build on. It's just that simple. You take the grace of God away, we don't have anything to build on. So he said, for what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The law made nothing perfect. So he said, finding fault with him, behold, he saith, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the law, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He said, not according to that covenant that I made with them in the day when I took them by the hand, to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. You see, the Lord has never forsaken what he has said he would do. But man, he just hasn't been able to keep his part of the bargain. And that's just exactly what the weakness of the law was. It depended on man. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. See, these are my words. If you have an argument, you're going to have to argue with somebody else. I surely believe it. I forget where I was at. But we just know this. As he said there, he said, and they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. He said, but he said, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them into their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now, why is that covenant so much better? It don't depend on man. just that simple. He said, I will be to them a God, they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least unto the greatest. And for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And in that he saith the new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. But brethren, he didn't do away with the first covenant. He fulfilled it. Must remember that. He said, not one jot or tittle from the should fall from the law till all should be fulfilled. And that's why it was important that he fulfilled the law for us. Brethren, we couldn't. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak to the flesh. Gone. That's the way it's been here in this world to me. For what I could not do in that I was weak to the flesh, God has done. And so we see that he was full of grace, truth. Brother, he has had mercy upon my soul. I don't know how you feel about it. The sinful nature that we are. He said, what shall we say then as pertaining Abraham, that Abraham, our father, as it pertaining to the flesh, has found? He said, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has whereof the glory, but not before God. But what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You see, it's a righteous thing to believe that God saves sinners here in this world. And it's unrighteous if we don't. A lot of people look to the moral part of the law, and they look at fornication and stealing and lying, and those things are sinful in God's sight. But it's always a false doctrine, brother. He said, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. I like those writings back there. It's just pretty pointed. It said, whosoever abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And he said, if there come any unto you and bring another doctrine, he said, receive him not into your house, neither bid him on Godspeed. For he that does is the partaker of his evil deeds. Now we can wish each other well here, but I can't wish well for any false doctrine. So there's grace. It's just but by the grace of God I am what I am. And I'd like to point out to you also that the grace of God does. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Well, I'll tell you what, the law also taught you that, didn't it? But here's something the law didn't teach you. Looking for what? See, in the law there, they wasn't looking for that. The Jews, as he mentioned, they weren't looking for Christ. But he said, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, of our God, and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what grace does. You'll be zealous of good works if the grace of God has been in your heart, brother. You're going to have an awful time convincing me that you're saved by grace, and you're going to have a desire to do those things that God has commanded us to be obedient unto, and to keep his teachings and his testimonies here in this world. He said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey a magistrate, to be ready to every good work, to be no followers, being meek, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we have done. It's not by works. Not by works. But after the love of God our Savior before man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Brother, and we need that renewed in us daily while we live here in this world. We need the visitation of God's Spirit as we live in here in this world every day. But without it, we're going to perish. believe back in one of the old prophets that says, if the people have no vision, they'll perish. And if we don't have any vision of God, and we don't have any knowledge of God, we'll perish. And the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Other than that's just an indication that we're a child of God. Another indication that we are a child of God is that we can listen to this preaching for about 5 or 6 minutes and it doesn't offend us. Not only that, we can listen to the preaching of the gospel and we can rejoice in it. Do you ever think of the difference between hearing? I hear a lot of things in this world that are true, but they just don't cause me to rejoice. Now here's a gospel that we have. We can listen to this and we can rejoice in it because it tells us what God has done for us. But in a short sermon, is try to tell a people what we have done for God. Talk about a short sermon. There is one right there. That's it. But when you are trying to explain, and brother, you have to feel this personally. All the intellect in the world or all the understanding of this world, it's not going to show you this. You've got to see it because God has revealed it unto you. And I believe we have a heartfelt religion. Brother, if it don't touch your heart, it's not much good. It's not much good. But it moves us. It moves us to do those things that we would not ordinarily do because we're of the flesh. So he said, which was shed upon us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom also we have the hope of eternal life, being justified by his grace. These things I will, thou would affirm that they which have believed in Christ might be careful to maintain good works, for these things are good and profitable unto men. But he said, avoid genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. And so we want to get into that contest sometime. Who's keeping the law better here today? You know, am I doing a little bit better than my brother, or is my brother doing a little bit better than me? And that's, it's, you know, there was two men. He said, this parable he spake unto certain that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And of course, we do this by nature. I always felt that hell was going to be filled up long before I got there. I mean, that's just how ignorant I was, brother. And if I wasn't as good as many or better than most, that's just the concept I have by nature of myself. And that's, you know, every way of a man's right in his own eyes. Every way of a man's right in his own, but God weigheth the heart. See? There's a difference. But we're not. But this is the parable. He said, this parable he spake unto certain that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Not only that, and despised others. Said two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, I thank thee, God, that I'm not as other men are. How erroneous can you get? Anytime you don't think that you are as other men are, you don't have an understanding of the truth. He said, adulterers, unjust, extortioners, or even as this publican. He says, I fast twice in a week and give tithes of all that I possess. Well, that went a long way in the Jewish religion. That made you pretty good. They said, but the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's about all I can cry today. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I can't say a good person. A good man. Just God be merciful to me, a sinner. Not only today, but if I live tomorrow, he's going to have to be merciful to me again on tomorrow. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and everyone that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Brethren, when we begin to see what God has done for us, now we read over in the Ephesian letter, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, lest any man should boast. He knew man's nature, didn't he? Some of the religions of the world, and I think even some of our people sometimes, want to get the boasting about what they have done or what they have refrained from doing. And brother, that don't amount to anything. They said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, and unless any man should boast. And I think this applies eternally, but I also believe it applies here in this world, because I know that when we get to heaven, that the only boasting we'll do is of God and of his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. We'll all be equal up there. And so he said, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now he says, he goes on, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. See, there's grace and there's works. But you know, grace is always going to come first. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And brethren, without the spirit, you're never going to get to the truth. That's just a fact. And we sometimes think that this is the only worship service, maybe. But brethren, we're worshiping God all the time as we try to be obedient unto his commandments even after we leave this place. And so if we are going to worship God, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. It's not or. It's and. And I just never have seen anybody get to the truth without the Spirit. You can read the Bible from end to end, you may be able to quote several passages of it, but you'll never get to the truth, will it? Only God can show you that. It takes God's power and God's love to show you that you're a sinner to start with. I know the world, they'll go out here and they'll eventually, sometimes they'll scare some ignorant person into thinking their child of hell, they're going right there. And they'll start making all kinds of confessions or whatever suggestions that people might put in front of them, even as we heard that this guy was working on the lady to preserve her from hell. But see, they're just preaching fear of hell. And that's not of the Spirit, and it's not the truth. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, herein is my Father glorified, in that you bring forth much fruit. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. And he has promised, brethren, and we ought to, and this is basically for the benefit of the flesh, if we're disobedient, he has promised that he's going to chasten us. Said, if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And he said, now no chastening for the moment seems joyous but grievous, but afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. And it's like my children. Sometimes I chasten them, and it's effective, and sometimes I chasten them and it's not effective. We see Jonah. That was effective. And Jonah said, I cried by the reason of mine affliction. That's what I do. I seldom cry because I'm joyous, but I cry by the reason of my affliction. He said, out of the belly of hell cried I, and God heard me. And then down towards that, he said, I will sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving. You see, we don't sacrifice murmuring and complaining, but he said, I will sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And that, I believe, is a righteous thing. When we can, from the heart and by the Spirit of God. And that's the only way that you can say that. And that's the only way you can prove it, because if you don't believe that, then your works will show it. And see, this is what works will do. Works will show whether you believe in salvation by grace or whether you believe in salvation by works. And it's not going to be both ways. God won't have it that way. He said, even so now, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if it be by grace, it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace, otherwise work is no more work. He said, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. As it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. So it's by grace, or it's by works. He said, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that called. And it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. showeth not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's what the scripture saith in the parable, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power and honor, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, sometimes we get the idea that God is going to use his power to please us. Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. And then it says, Satan comes unto us, tempting us now sometimes, wondering, and tempting us to say, well, why doesn't God use his power to do this? He could do it. We read where Jesus went up into the wilderness and was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he came out of the wilderness, and the devil told him, he said, if thou be the Son of Christ, I turn these stones such a bread. And Jesus answered and said, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you think Christ had the power to turn those stones to bread? I surely do. But was it according to the will of God? No. Was he going to do it? No. No. My need is to do the will of my Father which has sent me. My need. There's the will will teach you and I that we're to use our faith to please the lust of this flesh. You want a new car, you have faith. You work, you get it. You want this or that, just have faith. Ask God, he'll give it to you. Not always. See, we are to use our faith to please God who gave it to us. That's what we're to use it for. And that's exactly what we use it for. And we try to use it any other way. You know, they gave, as God gave a law unto the children of Israel, our brother Nate, and they just either misused it, ignored it, tried to add to it, tried to take from it. And it's just not profitable when you do that. It didn't profit them a bit. So you and I ought to be, and I wish every child of God could read this book and have that willing mind and that willing heart to be obedient unto these things. But we see, and we know even ourselves, that we have to suffer sometimes the trials of this life before we become willing and obedient. And we can say, even as Christ prayed back there in the garden, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus taught them, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And then he said, and take up his cross and follow me. Some think they can deny themselves and go any way that they want to go. That's not what he said. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall lose, find his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life, and this is the condition, for my sake, shall find it. There's a lot of people out here saying they're giving their life to Christ, but they're doing that for their own sake. See, that's not going to work either. It says, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Brethren, we have exchanged our souls for some very foolish things. Very foolish things. Very foolish. Just a temporary lust. A moment of lust, or whatever. Aren't you glad that salvation is in the hands of the Lord? I can just see man getting a hold of that thing and just corrupting that just so bad that sell it to the rich, steal it from the poor. That's why the covenant is sure. I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a people. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. Not fear. I'm not here this afternoon because I fear that I'm going to hell, or if I don't show up here, that the Lord's going to cast me over into the lake of burning fire, or that he's somehow going to strike me in the flesh. That's not why I'm here. You love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. That's a big difference. Israel had the commandments, didn't they? They didn't keep them. See if he does. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he that is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will manifest myself to him. And I don't think that you would be here this afternoon except you feel that sometime during your a sojourn here in this world that God has manifested himself to you, and that there is something that's taking place in your life And the only explanation that we can find for it is the grace of God. That's the only explanation I can find for why I'm here and doing what I am doing. It's just by the grace of God. It wasn't because of my father. It wasn't because of my mother. It wasn't because of anything that I've done. It's just by the grace of God. And brother and I know that it's in the vanity of man that we want to search our minds and we want to find that one little thing that would make a distinction between us and all of mankind, that God might have mercy upon us. But when you find it, you've got works, not grace. And you're deceived because you can't find it. As it is written, there is none righteous. And he didn't stop there and he said, no, not one. Why do you think he reinforced that? The vanity of man. It's like a lot of scriptures. We always want to feel like that's applying to the other individual. And it would certainly be good if brother so-and-so heard this, or sister so-and-so, if she heard this. But this all applies to me. I don't know how much it applies to you, but it applies to me. It sure does. So I trust we're here. But if we want evidence that we're a child of God, we only need to listen to the truth. If we can hear the truth and rejoice in it, we know that's impossible for a man to do by nature. Jesus Christ came preaching the truth. What did they do to him? Crucify him. Crucify him. And we hear a lot of people out in the world, no, we want the truth. What is the truth? Well, it's right here. It's right here. And it said, then Pilate said to him, art thou a king? And Jesus answered and said, thou sayest that I am a king. He said, for this end came I into this world, and for this cause came I into this world, that I might be a witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my word. And Pilate went out, and he said, I find in him no fault at all. Now, Pilate was telling the truth, but was he aware of the impact of that statement? That's a lot of the world. They got a lot of things out there they say that are true, but are they aware of the impact and where that comes from? When it originates from God and from God's Word, the Apostle Paul said, he said, my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You don't believe God has the power, and then he's not a God. I always wonder how the world can have a God and he can't do anything but what they'll let him. That just mystifies me to no end. And God can't do it unless you let him, or God can't do it unless you help him. What kind of a God is that? That's no God. That's just no God. So all the inhabitants.